Our love of the real draws us to permanence, but health of body consists in circulation and sanity of mind in variety or facility of association. We need change of objects. Dedication to one thought is quickly odious. Life itself is a mixture of power and form, and will not bear the least excess of either. To finish the moment, to find the journey's end in every step of the road, to live the greatest number of good hours, is wisdom. Without any shadow of doubt, amidst this vertigo of shows and politics, I settle myself ever the firmer in the creed that we should not postpone and refer and wish, but do broad justice where we are, by whomsoever we deal with, accepting our actual companions and circumstances, however humble or odious, as the mystic officials to whom the universe has delegated its whole pleasure for us. The middle region of our being is the temperate zone. We may climb to the thin and cold realm of pure geometry and lifeless science, or sink into that of sensation. Between these extremes is the equator of life, of thought, of spirit, of poetry, a narrow belt. The mid-world is best. Undulation, alternation, is the condition of progress, of life. Solitude is not, and society is not. Alternate them, and the good of each is seen. If you do not quit the high chair, lie quite down and roll on the ground a good deal. You become nervous and heavy-hearted. The dog that was fed on sugar died. Do not craze yourself with thinking, but go about your business anywhere. Life is not intellectual or critical, but sturdy. Its chief good is for well-mixed people who can enjoy what they find without question. To fill the hour, that is happiness. To fill the hour and leave no crevice for a repentance or an approval. A practical aim is forever higher than the literary aim. I have no quarrel with action, only I prefer no action to misaction, and I reject the abusive application of the term practical to those lower activities. We feel as the minister about the Cape Cod farm. In the old time, when the minister was still invited in the spring to make a prayer for the blessing of a piece of land, the good pastor, being brought to the spot, stopped short. No, this land does not want a prayer. This land wants manure. And evermore in the world is this marvelous balance of beauty and disgust, magnificence and rats. There are all degrees of proficiency in knowledge of the world. It is sufficient to our present purpose to indicate three. One class live to the utility of the symbol, esteeming health and wealth a final good. Another class live above this mark, to the beauty of the symbol, as the poet and the artist and the naturalist and man of science. A third class live above the beauty of the symbol, to the beauty of the thing signified. These are wise men. The first class have common sense, the second, taste, and the third, spiritual perception. Once in a long time, a man transverses the whole scale and sees and enjoys the symbol solidly, then also has a clear eye for its beauty, and lastly, while he pitches his tent on this sacred volcanic isle of nature, does not offer to build houses and barns thereon, reverencing the splendor of the god which he sees bursting through each chink and cranny. Man thinking should occupy the whole space between God or pure mind and the multitude of uneducated men. He must draw from the infinite reason on one side,